You can please take your Bibles this morning, and if you can turn to the New Testament scriptures in the book of Jude, chapter 1, you'll find it near towards the end. Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance through, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example of suffering and the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they knew not, but what they knew naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and gone greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perisheth in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees, those fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming from their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved in the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them, all that are the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. And of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are the murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Please turn to James chapter 4. The second reading, James chapter 4. And commence our reading at verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one to another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, "Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell it yet again. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Let us bow our heads and ask for the Lord's help this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. And we ask, O Lord, now to bless it to the hearts of the hearers. Lord, make the ears receptive to thy words. We ask of thee to do a great work in the hearts this morning. And we ask of thee, O Lord, to intervene with thy mighty power to save. And thy mighty power, O God, we ask of thee to come down now. Fill us, O Lord, with the Spirit, that, O Lord, that intercedes for us. Come now for the reading of thy inspired, infallible, and inherent. Lord, we know there is no other book like it. There is no other word like the word of the living God. Lord, we ask of thy help. Come down now, O Lord, in this meeting. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Why is it that in our modern day time that Christians today are living in a state of defeatism? That this morning we know that we are truly in a time of crisis. Why are many Christians giving ground to the devil? Many are getting battered around in the fight for the Lord. And many Christians forget to know that we are truly in a battle. Though Christ won the battle, we are not fighting towards the victory, but we are fighting in the victory because of our Lord and Savior. The Bible speaks about putting on armor. In Ephesians, you can see the passage where it talks about the armor of God. That we know that in war, when people are putting on armor, then there must be a battle. And if there must be a battle, then there is a preparation for the enemy. In Christian warfare, there is an adversary. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In this world, there were many great battles fought in the history of this world. Many wars. But I tell you this morning, the most prolific battles are fought within the heart itself. Battles of principality. Battles of false religion. Battles of the flesh. These all originate in the very heart itself. But to those Christians who are living in the state of defeatism, well, you can be of good cheer this morning, for there's a glorious encouragement with our text this morning. As our text reads in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. As a matter of fact, the text can preach itself this morning because it's all contained here, that it says here that he will flee from you. I want to preach to you about why Christians must resist the devil. Firstly, the Christian must resist and oppose the devil only in the Lord's strength. And let us consider our first point. The Christian must resist and oppose the devil only in the Lord's strengths. And many churches teach today that you have the power to defeat the devil, that you simply kick the devil in the teeth and you're away with it. Well, my friend, you're no match for the devil this morning, because the devil doesn't have teeth. The devil is but a spirit of the air. And when the Christian starts to resisting the devil in the Lord's strength, he will ultimately succeed. So then that must mean that if you lean upon your own understanding upon fighting the devil, then you will certainly fall. The devil has been roaming around for roughly 6,000 years and knows way more than you and me this morning. But we have something this morning that is far greater than the devil, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. When he finds the children of God the grace of resistance, if the devil tempts, he tempts with fear, because he knows the Christian's grounded in the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. This calls in God's presence and protection. Notice it is not in man's actions. We're living in a time that the church itself teaches that you have the power. There's a great movement of humanism that rests in the person himself. But my friend, the word of God teaches us this morning that the power is not within yourselves. And Satan's devices are then carried on before his retreat in cowardly fear. And I'm talking about the devoted Christian, a blood-bought Christian. He fears and dreads Christ's presence, and he fears the consequences. Well, you're saying, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm going to show you right now, if you can turn to Matthew 8, verse 29, and I'll read it to you. The prince of the power of the air and all his legions must be subject to the Son of Man. And this subjection, rather than the cure of the individual, suffers is the stinging feature in the passage. It is not the man, but the demons possessing them who cry out, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Now, these are the demons speaking here. Notice what they say. "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" That when they said before the time, that then they must have some knowledge that they know that there is going to be judgment. Well, did these evil spirits know who Jesus Christ was? Oh, yes, and well, also they knew that he was mightier than they. The demons are in subjection to the Lord. And they knew that there's a time coming that they would be put entirely under his feet. "Art thou come to torment us before the time?" Well, therefore, secondly, then let us consider the Christian must resist all forms of temptation. We're living at a time that the church itself is shaking hands with the devil and then trying to present Christ. The Bible teaches no such thing. Can I tell you this morning that what fellowship does light have with darkness? For the light itself was very made to dissipate the darkness of this time, and yet you have the church itself going after the darkness. Can't be both. Bible doesn't teach both. And notice here that James enters into an earnest and simple protest against the weak argument that many have said that temptations are impossible to overcome. Well, this happened in James' time too. He's fighting with the people. The people are coming to him and say, "Don't preach to me this word, because these temptations, it's impossible to overcome." Not so. Oh, the devil would want you to think like that this morning. He would want you to think that there's nothing you can do, but there is something you can do. Now, that is to call upon the name of the Lord. To maintain that it is to assume that the evil one has more will and power to destroy. Many Christians give more credibility to the devil than to Christ himself. Not so. If this was what the Christian thinks, then he surely will continue to live in bondage. Surely there will be no victory in that Christian's life. But the truth of the scripture is exactly the opposite way. God not only allows to Satan no power to bully a man into sin. Notice the words of Job, chapter 1, verse 12. "And the Lord said unto Satan." Notice what he says here. "And the Lord said unto Satan, all that he hath has in power, only upon himself, put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth the presence of the Lord. He himself is ever ready to help when he is faithfully prayed to do so. Every Christian is provided with sufficient power to overcome the wicked one. And here, as our text states again, resist the devil and he will flee from you. While the Christian is to yield to God in all things, they are to yield to the devil in none. Not to give ground to the devil. You give an inch to the devil, he takes a yard. You give a yard to the devil and he takes a meter. And my friend, it gets worse and worse. You can see the exponential gravity to the devil that he has. Well, notice many churches have started strong in their ministries, believing the Holy Scriptures and preaching the gospel. Many churches start out on fire for God. But you see here, when the devil makes his way in, he brings doubt. He brings compromise. And you see the church begins to sway away from the gospel preaching. As one old minister said towards the end of his days, when a young man asked him, he asked the man, "What is the devil afraid of?" And the old minister said, "The devil is afraid of the preaching of the cross." The devil trembles when he hears the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The command here is simple. This is not a complicated message this morning. The Christian is to resist and oppose him in whatever way he may approach you. Well, we're living in a time that the church is shut down and many have not been in church for a very long time. It's a perfect recipe for the devil, isn't it? To kick a man while he's down. He's not being spiritually fed. But my friend, if there's a time to preach against the devil, then surely it must be this time when people are very vulnerable. When the Christian is vulnerable in the things to God. Church is shut down. Notice the words in 1 Peter 5 verse 9 about resisting. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Satan makes his way and secures his victories rather by art, cunning deception. We're living in a world of deception. You look at the news. It's constant deception. You see the headlines and the politicians, and we're living in a world of deception. Well, who's behind the deception? Who's influencing these men to lie? Must be the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ calls him that he is a liar. He was a liar right from the very beginning. And in Genesis, we see his lies come to action. When he tempted Eve and looked at Eve and said, "Did God really say that?" It didn't take very long for the devil to question the things of God. And we have an account of Michael the archangel as we read it in our reading this morning. Michael the archangel never argued with the devil. Oh, you can't convince the devil otherwise. You can't convince him that he's wrong. Notice in Jude 1 verse 9 what we read. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. It says here, durst not bring him a railing accusation. No, he didn't argue with him. He didn't turn to his angelic power. He didn't look upon himself, but he commanded the Lord to come. The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. No one is safe who yields in at least to the suggestion of the tempter. And my friend, if the angelic power was not able to deal with the devil, then who are we this morning? But we are to call upon the Lord. The time of temptation. Cast your care upon him. Cast your burdens upon him. Gird your mind. As Peter says, the devil comes in very subtly when it's just you and the voice that hisses in the ear. Just like as he comes to that man struggling with alcohol. Just one drink. Just one drink. And he comes to the man struggling with the lusts of the flesh. Just one look. What's the harm in one look? And just as he came with Eve questioning, did God really say that? It's the same devil this morning. Let us consider the Christian must resist and gird himself with the armor of God. The word is telling us this morning that we're in a battle. Well, the churches want to present themselves that there's no fight. Well, there's no battle. Well, if we have an adversary, then there must be a battle. One of us is wrong this morning. Is it what the Bible says, or is it what the church says? My word says this morning that there is a devil. Therefore, Satan is the Christian's adversary, and to be opposed as such and to be watched and guarded against, therefore, the whole armor of God, as stated in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. And not just to be stared at, but to be utilized. To utilize the armor of God. The weapon of prayer. You have it, the weapon of prayer, you have that. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have the shield of faith, which is your belief in the Holy Scriptures. You believe what God says. I don't need to hear what the news says about my God. I don't need to hear what the church up the street says about my God. I don't need to hear what the politicians say about my God, because I have faith. You see that what God says in his word. Then, brethren, this morning you will overcome the wicked one. And you see whom God dwells, to whom he gives more grace. The Lord will give you more grace, and who comes forth not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Resist in the strength of the Lord. That's ultimately what the text is saying this morning. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Resist in the Lord. With the Lord. He shall flee. And you see in the blood of Christ that Satan knows not what to do with him. And when it comes to that, he is confounded and defeated before he leaves. From such he flees. He does not like the power of prayer, nor the strength of faith, nor the sharpness of the two-edged sword, the word of God, nor the humble believer's heart, knowing that he himself is sinful. Devil doesn't want you to know about him. Devil doesn't want you to know his tactics. The devil doesn't want you to know his intentions. Just like the enemy doesn't want you to know about his tactics. And knowing that it is sinful, no power, there is no power except in the cross of Jesus Christ and the gospel of God. And therefore, let us move right now to our final point this morning. The Christian must resist the devil and draw nigh unto God. There is a drawing near to God. The plea that the devil is irresistible, and that therefore to yield to temptation is unavoidable, is a great fallacy. It is simply not true. The argument has no grounds, and Scripture disproves it. We just disproved it this morning. There is power to overcome temptation. God is not the author of evil. James has already protested. If there was no way out of temptation, then you're saying that God is the author of evil. And it cannot be. God is not the author of evil. James has already protested of trying to shift the responsibility of temptation from oneself to God. They're trying to put the responsibility on God. Oh, we're made like this. There's nothing we can do. Not true. In James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15, it is the old fallacy carried a level further. The former plea is reference to the temptation. The present one has reference to the fall. As regard both that the facts are conclusive, though many unbelievers and even Christians tempt to blame the devil for everything. However, this is not the case. We often provoke our own temptations. We often feed our flesh and then are quick to blame the devil for everything. We always can resist him if we in the faith draw nigh to God for our protection. And that brings us to the climax of this message. Cannot be compromised this morning. The church was not made to shake hands with the devil and preach a gospel to tickle the ears of the people. But that's the times we're living in. Why was the Son of God manifested? It says here this morning, to this end, the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. And the Son of God preserveth every child of God, and the evil one toucheth him not. But you see, the man himself must be willing to work with God. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. And this is the passage in Zechariah 1, verse 3. And therefore the parallel found here in James 4, verse 8. This is a parallel from the Old Testament. What does James 4, verse 8 says? It says here, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's the parallel. It's not in the Christian himself to fight using his own ways or methods, but must resist and call upon God that he may draw near. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That is the command. Submit yourselves to God. God doesn't want your respect this morning. God doesn't want the respects of all these political leaders and all these great men in power, but he wants their obedience. Doesn't want your respect. And that is the command. And all these are for the Christian's own good, and submission to them is required by the spirit of true humbleness. Swallow your pride. The devil was cast out of heaven because of pride. The object of the command here in the prevailing action to particular duties is to show them how they might obtain the grace which God is willing to give. That God is willing to help you through your temptations. God is willing to help you make you a better Christian. He's willing to help you. But if you go far from God, how can he help you? The true method of doing this is by submitting ourselves in all things to God. And therefore, as we come in the conclusion this morning, from all these statements of truth, therefore it is foolishness for a blood-bought saint to live in the spirit of defeatism. It's not God's will for you to live in the spirit of defeatism this morning. You're in the victory. We may through grace obtain victory and sweet, glorious encouragement and comfort from the very words of the text. But there is hope. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Where the Lord's commands are together, as in this case with the Lord's promise, boldly that the Christian may go forth unto battle in the name of none else, except the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we remember that great hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, at the name of Jesus, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. And even as the armies in heaven overcame by what? Was by the blood of the Lamb. So it is the same precious blood in our day is the sure way to victory now upon earth. They that are with Jesus both here and there are called and chosen and faithful. And he that begins in the Lord's strength will be sure to find strength all the way in this time on earth. There never was an instance of a child of God being totally defeated. So therefore this morning, brothers and sisters, we can shout forth Hosanna, that Christ has defeated the devil. And let us end with the words of Romans 8, verse 36 and 37. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. May the Lord bless his message to us this morning. Let us close with a hymn. Let us end with prayer and dismissal. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. Our Father and our God, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy message that thou hast given to us, O Lord. We ask of thee to keep giving us thy grace, O Lord, that thou dost say that thy mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. And, O Lord, we do call upon thee this morning to give great grace, O Lord, even at this great time, that thou dost see the prince of the power of the air and the tactics of the devil. But, Lord, we thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is victory this morning in the blood of the very Lamb of God. And, Lord, we ask of thee, Lord, to preserve us in thy hand. And, Lord, to go forward, not in darkness, but to go forward in light of which thou hast laid before us in thy Son. Lord, give us thy blessing this morning. For we ask of these, Lord, we ask for everyone here and their blessing upon them. We ask of safety, Lord, we ask that thou would safely bring us back even here tonight. And Lord, we ask of thy journey mercies. For we ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.